We're going to start today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know I shared this a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going bad here or anything, but I thought it would be good to hear it again. Yeah, for some of you people. What did I say?
2 Corinthians 5.
Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. And we're going to start verse 18, and it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation." And Gennaro prayed about that we can, God reconciled us, and we can reconcile people back to him, because he's given us all these great abilities and great, wonderful things. In verse 17, no, going backwards, verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses." And I shared last time, I love that word imputing, because it means that you're not taking inventory of, he's not taking inventory of our sins and our sin nature. You know, he's not holding these things against us. Because he's a great loving God, you know. So, not imputing their trespasses, their faults, their shortcomings unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So from those few verses there, we see that God wanted us reconciled. And he made it so easy for us to do that. And then, verse 20, it says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, to be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So God made it so very easy for us to be in his family, to be reconciled to him. And then, you know, therefore he wants us to, and Terry's leaving, he wants us to reconcile others to him too. And then there's a great verse in Acts 26. You guys all know these verses. I can't get anything by you guys, but Acts 26. And in verse 18, this is one of the things we can do when we reconcile people back to God. It says, verse 18, it says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Remember, he doesn't hold our sins against us. So God really wants us to know that, you know, he doesn't hold our sins against us. And receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in name. All we got to do is believe it. That's the simplicity of it. In Luke chapter 1 is a really cool verse. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1. And verse 79. "Is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So those are pretty dark things. That God gave us light, gave us his word, so that we can be, you know, guide our feet into the way of peace. And God's peace is the greatest. There's nothing else more peaceful than God's peace. So you can try Zen and all that stuff, but God is the way to peace, and his peace is just so unbelievable. Let's go to, oh yeah, John 14. We got to go on to this one too. John 14, 12. Sales. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we're going to take a little look at some of the things Jesus Christ did. And he's telling us here that we can do greater works. And one of those things is, you know, we can speak in tongues. We have direct communication. We can speak in tongues to God, and he hears us, and he loves us, and he wants to take care of us. But in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, 21 and 22, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done by to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say, this is what I wanted to read here. Also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. This is Christ telling us this. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So, what good tip there? Pray and believe, right? And we shall receive it. In Matthew 8. Oh, we're in Matthew, right? Look at that. Matthew 8, verse 1. 1 through 4, 5 through 13, and 23 to 26. That's what we're in. Just so you know.
What did you even say?
Matthew 8, 1 through 4.
Okay.
To start.
Okay.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is Jesus Christ. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, make me clean. And we know leprosy back in those days was not a good thing. They would cast you, put you out of the city, and all of this mean stuff, because nobody wanted to catch leprosy. It was very contagious. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, and we know that means embraced him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. So Jesus Christ did something that was basically impossible. He cleansed a leper, and he did something that he wasn't supposed to do, as touch a leper. And he made it through because he believed God. In verse 5, and this is another great little record here, and when he was entered into Capernaum, there came up to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, well, it's a possibility that I can heal him.
Yes.
No, he said, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And remember in the Old Testament, it said he sent his word. Why? He sent his word and healed them. So he said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then he goes on to say, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast what? Believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self-same hour. His servant was healed because he believed, and, you know, Jesus Christ believed, and all the guy needed was his word. And his words were powerful. In verse 23. another great little tidbit that our wonderful Lord and Savior, verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And that's great peace that our Lord has had. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And I love the response here. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Jesus Christ was just at peace with what his Father told him he could do and what he can accomplish, and he accomplished it. And then these wonderful apostles. Look at Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Hello, come in. Entree. The cake is done. Psalm 65, 1 through 7. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, for thou shalt purge them away. Remember, he doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't keep track of them. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness, with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. God is everybody's confidence if we want it to be. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves and the calm. That's what our God does for us. He stilleth the voice of the car that just went by, with all the noise and distractions of the world. He can still that in our hearts and cause us to be wonderful things, cause us to be at peace. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You're the dames? Everybody's baking cakes. We'll start verse 1 and we'll read through 11. This is such a wonderful record. We've all heard this before and read this a million times, but it's just so wonderful. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. What are they doing there? They say unto him, Master, now Moses, the know-it-alls are going to tell them what should be done. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. A little didn't know what he wrote, but do you see the great calm, the great peacefulness that he just didn't let them faze him at all.
Yeah.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that was that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. So, but you know, he did sin. And did not the right thing. No, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't hold her sin against her. He learned that from his God, from his Father. And that's what we're to do for each other, too. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that light of life means to see clearly. And that's what we have in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a pretty great thing to follow him and do the things he did, and we can do greater. In Acts chapter 1, next book over. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Talking to the apostles, right? Which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the othermost part of the earth. And that othermost part of the earth is right here. In Brielle, and Brick, and Tom's River, and Belmar, and Holmdel. So we have those great things to do in our little towns here. In Romans chapter 8, what'd you say, John? Romans is after Genesis?
What?
Romans chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 15. And look at this. Now, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear.
But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and that's that tender, you know, daddy relationship with God. The Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it confirms that we're God's children, and if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then it says this wonderful verse, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, which we do go through some sufferings and pain and, you know, sorrow and stuff, but they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that something? And that word reckon is the same word as imputed, and we're to reckon what Christ has for us, what God has for us. We're to keep track of that, but not keep track of our sins. Isn't that something? Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we don't take inventory of our shortcomings, but we do take inventory that this is not going to even compare to what we have, what's in store for us when Christ comes back. In 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 12, start in verse 7, it says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. and that word profit is to be better off for. That's pretty cool. So because we have the Spirit, we're better off. And then it goes on to say what some of the things are. So to one is given Spirit, by the Spirit word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, gifts of healings, to another working of miracles, of prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man. So we've all been given this great Spirit so we can do these great things. Look at this. I mean, you know, when spirits are messing with you or someone else, and speaking tongues, word of knowledge, it's just, it's, this Spirit is unlimited. It's so wonderful. And then he gave it to us. Then in Colossians chapter 1, everybody still there in TV land, Angel?
Yes.
Verse 26, look at this. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what?
Christ
in you, the hope of glory. And we are to preach that to the people of the earth. Because why? Because God wants us to. And it's going to help people. It's going to help us to. He gave us that wonderful ministry of reconciliation after he reconciled us. Pretty cool. And in Ephesians, a couple more verses in Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of this, the great verse here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to what? Believe according to his mighty power, not our mighty power, not Buddha's mighty power, but according to God's mighty power, which is powerful. So we have all that going for us. Okay?
Okay.